I really enjoyed that song last week. It just like at the beginning of the service, it was just like, to me, it was like a spiritual tension. But as the music went on, it kind of lifted. And like music does that when we're really worshiping God. It like sets us to be ready to worship, right? I love that song. The Lord, and I looked it up. I couldn't find it. And all these songs about the Lord is my shepherd. And then Esther, I asked Esther, she's like, oh, here. You know, City of Light is the name of the group, and it's Shepherd is the name of it. But awesome song. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, you are our shepherd. Just lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if anybody was not here last week and you didn't get a chance to hear Pastor Stan Collins from Argentina, I think it was like a hallmark message that you should go back and listen to that one. And for those of us who were here, you can't manufacture the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's not something you can like study for or do. You know, God just shows up, and God showed up. There was such a concentration toward the end of that message on my part, and I didn't even realize it. And then at the end of the message, I realized like everybody else is concentrating too. And I heard Pastor Stevens used to say, the highest form of worship is concentration on the Word of God. And even in music, with music, you put the Word of God in the music, right? And you're concentrating on the Word of God as you worship. And so this was something that I heard somewhere, and it just struck me. Incline your ear to hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. Does that just apply to pastors or when you're evangelizing? No, that applies to you and me. Specifically, like after church when we're fellowshipping, but when you're at home, you know, teach your kids when you get up in the noonday, when you go to bed, you know, like all the time. Like if you hear wise words, then they'll be on your lips. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about being quiet too, so don't just think you got to talk all the time. But if you have a wise word and it's from the Spirit, then let it be fixed upon your lips. And that's why it's good. I think it's good for us sometimes to take a break and tell each other what we heard. Like, what did we hear? You know, like, what did we hear? And last week I was thinking, what did I hear? Let me repeat some wise words that I heard. Like, isn't it good to meditate and roll things over? If you hear something wise, you meditate on it. Stephanie actually said, had an idea. There's lots of ideas. We're not going to implement every idea that ever comes up because there's millions and millions of ideas that come my way. But as the Lord leads, whatever. And I like the thought. She said, like, she knows of a church where the midweek service, they review the Sunday morning service. But that thought, just kind of reviewing, meditating, rolling over what you heard is really good. And the word meditate is like chewing the cud, right? Different animals that chew the cud, some have 2, 3, or 4 stomachs, I think. And they chew the grass. They let the acid get in it a little bit. And then it's a little bit fermented. They spit it up. They chew it some more and swallow it. Spit it. It's like with the Word of God, we hear it and it goes in, but we need to regurgitate it and chew it a little more sometimes. And it's so good. If you've ever received Christ as your Savior, you have judicial forgiveness. The judge, God Almighty, has said, you are forgiven. Like, just think about that. In your life, God saying, you are forgiven. That's amazing. Mark 2:7, who can forgive sins but God alone? Yes, Jesus is God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? 1 John 2:12, Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven. So you have this judicial forgiveness. And then what did he talk? I don't think I'd ever, maybe I had. It just didn't strike me the same way. It referred to as practical daily forgiveness. We need practical daily forgiveness. And he quoted Luke 6:37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. But we're already forgiven by God, right? And then he took it into the parable of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He said to them, you're all clean except for one, Judas. You're clean. I just need to wash your feet. So the feet represents our walk with God, right? Our daily walk with God. And we need our feet washed. We need our feet washed. And Peter didn't want to let Jesus wash his feet. But basically Jesus said, you're not going to have any communion with me. I'm not going to have any part in me unless your feet wash. Peter's like, I'll wash all of me. And he's like, no, you're already clean. But your feet need to be washed. And Peter didn't get it. But think about it this way, too. If you don't forgive one another's sins, your feet are still dirty. Because it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. So if we want to, Peter didn't want to let Jesus wash his feet. We have to let Jesus wash our feet, right? Well, for Jesus to wash our feet, he says right here, forgive and you will be forgiven. Bring your feet up and let me wash them. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And Peter didn't understand it. He didn't understand he needed his feet washed. And that if he didn't, he wasn't going to have communion with God in his walk. Until he began to understand it a little bit after he denied Jesus three times. When he denied Jesus three times and Jesus came back and reaffirmed him, Jesus was washing his feet, right? And then he said, go feed my sheep, go feed my lambs, you know. Like he had that on his lips. He had his feet washed, the practical daily forgiveness. And Jesus said in John 13:4, and you also ought to wash one another's feet. So forgive one another. And Pastor Stan and I had a great time just talking. To be around somebody that loves God so much and is so dedicated to God, in a way it can be kind of intimidating. Anybody ever been around somebody like that? In a way. In another way, not. But in another way, it's like, whoa, it's so, like, this guy is, like, serious with God. I mean, he tells jokes and all, but he's, like, serious with God. And I am, too, but he's, like, serious with God. And he said something like, young people don't care if you mess up so much, but they don't want to be within a mile of a religious spirit. And he said, they'll see your heart and they can forgive you. They'll forgive you. And I said something like, so young people can wash my feet? And he thought for a second. He said, yeah. Anybody can wash your feet. Anybody can forgive you, right? It's not just young people, old people, middle-aged, rich people, poor people. We're the body of Christ. We wash each other's feet. Little kids can wash our feet. And what does that mean for us? Like when somebody forgives us, it gives us communion with God. Our feet are washed. We have communion with God. And our walk with God is stronger when a little kid forgives us. Wow. Like, that's amazing. Because we see how much God loves us through the kid. That's the body of Christ loving us, right? And so how can we walk with God and have communion with God on our own? 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, right? That's talking about practical daily forgiveness because we're already clean. And we need to receive forgiveness. And how can you help others walk with God? Forgive them. Forgive them. Wash their feet. And Psalm 133, the anointing's in the unity. And it comes from the head down. And I like this statement too. Meditate on this. How does a marriage last? How can a marriage last? How long did he say he was married? I don't know. Not as long as Will and Beverly, but he was married a long time, right? Or maybe he was married. I don't know. Maybe not as long as Don and Virginia. But a long time. He said a marriage lasts with forgiveness. With forgiveness. And like that can be applied to us, right, as the body of Christ. It's forgiveness. And you can wash my feet and in effect hold my hands up. Forgive me and you'll be holding my hands up. And Jesus washes our feet and wants us to wash others. And I wrote this down too. He said, Pastor Stan said, don't seek to punish, condemn, or criticize. How many times do we just, our little wheels get turning? We get critical. Don't seek that. Seek to justify and find the righteousness of Christ. And so I was thinking, that's wisdom. You know, that's wisdom. And people are foolish in our way of living and relating to people. Sometimes, has anybody messed up a relationship? Or maybe not permanently, but maybe temporarily messed up. Everybody has temporarily messed up a relationship, even if it's for a couple hours. Yeah, maybe said something you wish you hadn't. And maybe you've been a little foolish, maybe a little irresponsible, maybe said the wrong things. And be honest, like think about it. You have. And this was something that Spurgeon said, and I saw this meme. I called it meme for years and years, and my kids got on me. It's a meme, Dad. It's still a meme. It'll always be a meme to me. Anyway, this isn't a meme. I just took the words off the meme. Meme, meme. And I was thinking about that. I was like, that sounds biblical. Is that biblical? Is it biblical? It's like, it sounds biblical. One mark of a man's true wisdom is his knowledge of his ignorance. I was like, that sounds biblical. And it is. Yeah. Like, so we're honest about it that we mess up relationships. We have done that, relating to people. We said the wrong things, we do the wrong things. And but the fool, the guy who's wise in his own eyes, he's never wrong, right? Never wrong. Never apologize. He knows it all. And but the wise person can recognize that, wait a minute, I messed up. I'm in trouble. I need help. Where can I get help? And when we need help, look to the hills, you know. Our help comes from the Lord, right? The maker of heaven and earth. We can ask for help. We ask for help. Let him ask of God. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But ask in faith. But look, ask in faith. Now, why do we have faith? Because God says he'll give it to you, right? That's why we have faith. That's why we believe that, because the Word of God says, ask, and he'll give it to you. So we believe it. We don't ask doubting. We're like, yes, God wants to give us wisdom. We ask God for wisdom. He's going to give us wisdom. And so how do you go before God and ask for wisdom if you don't think you need it? You won't. You gotta realize that we make mistakes. We maybe intentionally make mistakes. Maybe our intentional acts are mistakes. That we do things that we're not perfect and we need help. Like that prayer, help. We pray daily, help God, help. And in 1 Kings 3, Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said, you didn't ask for long life, for riches, or for the life of your enemies. I mean, think of all those cool things you could ask for. Long life, riches, or your enemy's life. You know, probably pray more specifically, Lord, give me wisdom how to have long life. Lord, give me wisdom how to be rich. Lord, give me wisdom how to get my enemies. Like, we think we're asking for wisdom, but are we? God said he gave that to Solomon because he didn't ask for those things. He was just asking for the wisdom. Like, he really wanted God's mind on it, right? God's mind on it. So when you ask for wisdom, you might get it and be ready to get it. It might not be what you think. And so when we need wisdom, we ask God, and he wants to give it to us. So here's some sayings of the wise that I've been meditating on. Incline your ear to hear the words of the wise. To hear, hearing. And is hearing just noise? Like, there's a lot of noise out there, right? Any social media, YouTube, like, there's a lot of different hearing that we could do, but sometimes we can go listen to 3 minutes of that and be like, eh. Go listen to 3 minutes of, eh. 3 minutes, and it's like, are we really hearing? Are we asking God for wisdom and ready to hear? And who are we walking with and who are we listening to? This is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise will be wise. So, like, we need to be around wise people, right? To hear wise. And obviously, the Lord is the wisest. Christ, Colossians 2, 2b and 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But if you can find somebody that knows Christ, and you can say, look, there's Christ, then that's wise too. That's wise men who know him. And the hearing, and then the on your lips part. Like, check this out. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. There's a learning, and then you have a tongue of learning. Anybody ever try to teach something that you've learned and you realize, I don't know this as good as I thought I knew it. I better study a little more, you know? Like, but also, like, learning from the Spirit, maybe you can't go back to a book and, like, cram it in there and learn it and organize it, but maybe you need to, like, be around wise people and hear and sit under and listen and then try to say it again. You say it again and it comes out with that ring to it. Like, yeah, that was God. That's God's thought on the subject. And then that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Like, Steve is wise. He's saying, let's fill out these cards and let's give them to John and people. Let's pray for the people in the church who are weary, right? And let's think about the weary, but also we have a word for them. And that's what we do when we go soul winning. We pray that God would give us a word, but not just a word. We can memorize lots of words, but we want a word in season. A word in season. I was like having a tough time just recently, like in my spirit, and actually in preparation of this message, and I got a text that said, I'm praying for you. I was like, what? Nobody ever texts me that. Don't think you need to text me that, but if it's a word in season, text me that. And text somebody else that, if God leads you to do it. But I was like so encouraging. I was like, yeah. And then somebody else said something to me that was very encouraging too. And it was like, wow, that's in season. Both of these words are in season. And I haven't heard these words in a long time. And then boom, right when I needed them. So, like, we need to learn from the Spirit in such a way that when we talk to somebody, it's not just a word. It's not just like, I memorize this, boop, there it is. But it's actually, this is what you need for this situation. This is, and sometimes we might have a box and be like, in this situation, have a little flow chart, you say this, if that, and that, and that. But that might not be what they need. They might need a hug. Of course, that might be in your box too. They might not need that. They might need something different, right? And God can show us what that is. God can show us what that is. And so a word in season, and this is actually in this part portion of Isaiah, it's talking about Christ. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Okay, Jesus is learned, and he's hearing. He's hearing from the Father. Like, we can be learned, we can be wise, but every day we need to be saying, help, God, forgive me, God, wash my feet, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me to walk with you because I don't know how. Like, I think I know how. Like, I've got it all written down here. But then when I try, it's not what's written. It escaped me. Even when I listen to something, like, totally in the spirit, like, this is God. I write it down. And then I go to recreate it. It's gone. It's like, where'd it go? You know, like, help me, Lord, to actually learn and receive in my spirit. And sometimes when we receive things in the spirit, we don't even know we know them. Like, we'll be talking to something and something will come out and be like, that was God. And I learned it somewhere, but I don't even remember where. Hear as the learned or learned. The Lord has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. Like, sometimes when we hear something, you remember I was saying you pray for wisdom, it might not be what you think. But what's that? How's that go? I think in order to really receive the wisdom of God, you have to have character. Or as my grandfather would say, intestinal fortitude. You know, you have to have character. And, you know, how does that come in Romans 5? And there's another one, I think, in Peter, but it's like we glory in tribulations, you know, and the end result is the love of God is poured out in our heart. But part of that is we get character, and we get the character to where we can actually receive and apply God's wisdom. And so not rebelliously, like, so the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And there's all kinds of hidden truths about Jesus. But somebody who doesn't even know Jesus could read Proverbs and benefit from it. But there's all kinds of hidden nuggets. And this is one that I've always scratched my head about this. And I heard a little something the other day. And it just blessed me. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. So there's a way that we can relate to people that somehow makes us like them. And so we have to be wise in what questions we answer or how we answer them or how we're thinking, how we disagree, how we relate to them. And sometimes it's appropriate not to answer. And maybe. And then the very next proverb is very interesting. Answer a fool according to his folly. Well, wait a minute. The first one said, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And the second one said, answer a fool according to his folly. Lest he be wise in his own eyes. So if you answer them, you're answering them because they might be correctable. Right? You might actually, like, they might be like, instead of being wise in their own eyes, they might be like, oh, I need God. Like, I need wisdom from God, right? So the difference between the two is where it ends up. One of them, if you become like him, he pulls you down or leads you astray. And the other one, maybe you can help him. So, Lord, give us wisdom because we don't know. Help us. Because isn't hindsight 20/20? You know, you can look back and be like, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. But when you're in the moment, we need wisdom. We need God. And so the fool versus the learned, or the fool versus the wise, the learned hears. He hears. And he doesn't rebel from the hearing. Proverbs 5:11-13, and this is talking about the guy who's caught in the perils of fornication or adultery. It says, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. He's actually wising up, you know, but it was after the fall, after he fell. And isn't it awesome that we can always, always come to Jesus? Psalm 91 says, he releases us from the snare of the fowler. There is a snare, and even if we're caught in it, we have a release. Fear, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? It's the way out of foolishness to fear God, the way out of foolishness. It is warm in here. I've seen several people doing this. I thought it was just me. Anytime I ask Lee, she's like, oh no, it feels very comfortable. And Lee just like, it could be like 98 and she'll be like, don't turn the air conditioner on. We don't need any air conditioner. I'm like sweating, got a fan right on me. We don't need the air conditioner. It's just fine in here. But yeah, so whoever could, if you could turn that down a couple degrees, it would be good. And we're almost done anyway, but the fear of the Lord. Jesus said, a wiser than Solomon is here, talking about himself. He's the wisest of wise. And so we can live a foolish life and suffer because of it, and even bring others with us. Here's a proverb, Proverbs 26:7. The legs of the lame that hang limp is like a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Okay, so if you've got somebody who's lame and has limp legs, think of limp, they're not moving at all, they're just dangling. There's actually probably a lot of weight there. It's probably be almost better if you didn't have them. It's not like somebody who has stiff legs, these are limp legs. So, actually, somebody who knows a proverb and they're a fool, they've got dead weight and they're just hanging there and they're not able to walk with God. And maybe he doesn't understand the proverb. Maybe he knows the proverb, doesn't understand. There's like college professors. I had a college professor. He knew more of the Bible than me, but he didn't understand any of it. But he could quote it. Satan knows the Bible. He might understand it, and he purposely misquotes it, but either way. But maybe the foolish guy who knows the Proverbs, whose legs are like the lame man hanging down, a proverb in the mouth of a fool, when he either he doesn't understand it, or how about this, he understands it, but he's not passionate about it. He doesn't live it. He has no character. He doesn't have it in him. He's just in his mouth, but it's not in him. He's not really learned. He's not really sitting with wise people and actually submitting to the wise one, to the Spirit. But he's actually intellectually charged, and it's like limp legs. And he's not building his life on it. This is Matthew 7:24. And he who hears these words and does them is like a man who builds his house on the rock. You know that parable? You build your house on the rock, a foundation where it's not going to move. And so this wisdom can have authority. It can have an authority if you receive from the Holy Spirit and we understand it and then we embrace it. Some people, like, they hear it and then they just walk away. It's like a person looking in a mirror and forget what they look like, right? But like you embrace it. This is mine. I love this. This is mine. And it's like you have a foundation. You're building your house on the rock. But if either the Holy Spirit's not showing us, or you just don't have the character to embrace it, I think you need both of those. You need to embrace it. You need to see it, understand it, and embrace it. And I'm almost done, but just one little last thing. And we don't have to be smart either to be wise. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So who is simple? Hopefully you and me, right? Because we want understanding, right? The simple. And remember this. So who is simple? Hopefully you and me. You know, compared to God, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Like, we don't even understand them. Like, we think we do sometimes, but only when the Spirit shows us, and only at the moment when the Spirit quickens us. Incline your ear to hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them be fixed upon your lips. Fixed upon your lips. So when you hear a message and you know it's from God, meditate on it and then talk about it. Like after church, talk about the message. Or when you get home, talk about the message. When you read something in the Bible and God shows you something, talk about the message. You know, like talk about what you have learned, what you have learned. And you don't have to be a preacher. You can talk very quietly to your siblings, your husband, your wives, your friends, you know, people in the church. But yeah, you can evangelize. And if God calls you, you be a pastor. Like if God calls you, you be a missionary. And we're all missionaries, right? I like that sign at Open Door. When you leave the church, it says, you are now entering the mission field. There's a sign. Like, you should also put it on the back. When you're coming in the church, you are now entering the mission field, right? Either way, you're entering the mission field. In the church, you got in reach and outreach, whatever. Like, everybody needs the Lord, right? So if you got on your lips, you're here. Let's pray. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know if they need their feet washed and they don't know if they're all clean or not, Jesus can make you clean. He can set you free. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, just call unto him, Lord. Call unto him as your Lord. Just say, God, save me. I believe in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.